I would say that no other human figure in history has had more books written about him, more discussions, more people put their faith in him than Jesus. I believe that we must, as Christians, if we're going to reach the world, we need to know who Jesus is. And I believe that Jesus Christ wants you to know who he is. He wants you to know. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus was talking to his disciples one day, and he asked them a pointed question. He said to them, "Who do people say that I am?" Because Jesus wanted to know what was Newsweek, Time Magazine, everybody saying about him. Who do people say that I am? Well, Peter said, well, people are going around town, and some people believe that, hey, you know, you're John the Baptist. John the Baptist lost his head, and we believe that you come back as John the Baptist. Or you are a prophet. You know, you preach well, you teach well, and we believe you are a good prophet. The other one said, we think you are Elijah. That you are Elijah because Elijah never died, so maybe you come back as Elijah, and you have come back to prepare the way for the Messiah. Now, I would say to you that that question still remains today. Many of us, if you ask people on the street, or even some of you, who is Jesus? Some people say, he's a good teacher. He's a good moral person. Matter of fact, he's a good example. He's someone that you can pattern your life after. Well, Jesus, after he heard what the disciples said about what the people in town said about him, he then asked his disciples really a very direct question. But who do you say that I am? And Peter answered for the group, and Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, Peter, you are correct. And he says that I want you to know that you are blessed because he said that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And what Jesus was saying to Peter is this simply, is the fact that you didn't discover this, Peter, on your own. That God, by his Spirit, revealed to you who I am. And so Peter said correctly, you are the Son of God, the Christ, the Son of God. Now, in the Gospel of John, we talked about this, that there are four Gospels. We got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each one of those Gospels were written from a different point of view and written to a particular group of people. The Gospel of Matthew was written mainly to Jews to prove to them that Jesus Christ is the long-awaited Messiah, that he is the one who has fulfilled prophecy, and he is the rightful heir to the throne of David. The Gospel of Mark was written more to Rome because it did more not with Jesus' birth, but it went right into his ministry, the things that he did. Then Luke really was written from an investigative point of view, and Luke was written to Theophilus, and really to help Theophilus do more, Luke went behind the scenes, and Luke really did more of almost like investigative work. He talked about the birth of John the Baptist, he talked about Jesus, talked about being in the temple, so he really wanted to give Theophilus a more direct record of what he had come to believe in. Now, the Gospel of John, historians say, was the last gospel that was written. And it says that John wrote his gospel from a viewpoint really to deal with two types of things. He wanted, first of all, to have it as an evangelistic gospel. He wanted people to believe in Jesus Christ. Or he wanted Christians, disciples who already knew who Jesus was, to continue on believing in him. Matter of fact, if you want to go to one scripture, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, tells you the theme of why he wrote the Gospels. And the Gospel of John is written around eight signs, eight miracles that Jesus did. And the Apostle John writes his gospel focused around those eight miracles to prove to us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and by knowing that, you will believe and you will have life in his name. So the theme of the book is to believe. The word believe in the Gospel of John is mentioned over 100 times because John wants you to believe. He wants you to believe in who Jesus really is. And even today, there are many people who really still don't understand who Jesus is. They don't understand who he really is. And it's important for us that once you know who Jesus is, then it makes you more bold or more confident to tell other people about him. But if you're confused about who Jesus is, then you really not going to really tell other people about him with such confidence and such vigor and such urgency. So the Gospel of John is really written to tell us this is who Jesus is. Because the thing that you don't want to get wrong is that question is, who is Jesus? Because if you get that question wrong, it determines your whole eternal destiny. So we as Christians, we first of all want to know who is Jesus. And then second of all, because we know who Jesus is, we want to tell other people who is this Jesus. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen? So we're going to be in the Gospel of John for a while. So if you want to read the Gospel of John, read through it, that's where we're going to be. We're not going anywhere. We're going to be going through the Gospel of John chapter by chapter. And so we're going to talk about what it means to know who Jesus is and what it means to not only know who he is and to live that out in our practical day-to-day lives. Amen? So let's stand together. And as you find the Gospel of John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, we're going to read a couple of verses, then we're going to begin to ask God to bless our time together. The Gospel of John chapter 1, and it reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Pray with me. Father, we love you. We thank you. We ask God that you will enlighten our minds and open our hearts to your truth, that it may transform us. Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Who is this Jesus? A lot of opinions about who Jesus is or who he isn't. Just today, I was talking to a young man, and I think that what we have seen that has begun to take place in our world is that you would have never thought in your day, in my day, that there would be people growing up in America, born and raised in America, who really don't know who Jesus is. You would think that's impossible, but it's true. There are people who are growing up right here in America that do not know who Jesus is. I was talking to a young man today, and he said, "Well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual." I said, "Can you tell me what that means? Because I've been hearing it a lot lately. Can you really explain to me? Because I want to make sure I hear you correctly. And what are you telling me that you, when you say you are not religious, but you're spiritual? Can you explain that to me?" He said, "Well, it's kind of like there's this righteousness or this force. It's all around you. You can't really explain it, but it's kind of like a righteousness." Or I said, "Wait, you mean a God conscious?" "No, it's more of it's in your head, and it's more a moral code of who you are." Now I'm all confused. I see how your face is looking, as I was looking too. Like, this is weird. But so he tells me this, and I said, "Okay, tell me more." He says, "Well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you know, everyone has it in them. You know, I'm a good person and those things." I said, "Okay, but you say you're spiritual. So what does that, you not help me out with that. What do you mean when you say you're spiritual?" And he says, well, it just seemed that there's an order to the world, but you really don't know who that person is. And maybe just, you know, just I try to learn something from all religions. I don't have one, but I try to learn something from all. But I'm just not sure that there is one. And he said to me, he said, well, you know, that's how the young people think now. You know, he said, I used to go to church, but young people think, you know, at a certain time, he said, you know, I went to church, I read my Bible, and I know my Bible. That's what he's saying, I know the Bible. I said, thank you, I do too. But he said, I know the Bible. He said, but I just had more questions than answers. And then I said, so you don't believe in any religious? He said, no, I don't believe in a religious going to church. I don't believe in that. And so, but it come to find out, though, what he really believes, that there really is no God, but he really believes that there's a God, but that God is really him. And what I mean by that, because he believes that he tells me that he's a good person. I'm a good person. I do good things. He said, but I know I don't do everything well, but I'm a pretty good person. That's okay. So what do you think about Jesus? And he had this puzzled look on his face. Well, I hadn't thought too much about that. I said, I thought you said you read the Bible. He said, well, I have, but I really didn't think too much about Jesus. I said, that's impossible. For you to read the Bible and not think that much about Jesus when he's the center of the scriptures, he's the center of our history. As a matter of fact, your calendar is dated, you know, what is it called? You know, we call it AD and BC. That our history has been dated by the birth of one man in history. And you haven't thought about that person? I said, no, not really. I haven't thought too much about him. 18-year-old guy. So I'm thinking, wow. You know, how can that be that a person does not know about Jesus, haven't heard him, clearly understood the gospel? Now, if you was to go and probably poll some churches and ask people, who is Jesus? If you ask some Christians, if we had a poll and we had everybody write down on a card, who you think Jesus is? I wonder how many of us would say, for instance, would you say that Jesus is God? Would that be an important thing to say? Would that be accurate? Would that be true? Would you be confident in saying that Jesus is God? Or would you say, you know, Jesus is a good person? Because, you know, people can say God, or people can say, I believe in Jesus. But when you ask them, well, do you believe in Jesus being the Son of God? Well, no, I don't believe in Jesus, Son of God. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world? Well, no, I don't believe that, but I believe in Jesus. I said, well, what do you believe about Jesus? Well, I believe he was a good person. And I said, well, it's kind of hard for him to be a good person and be a liar. Because he said some things that were so controversial that I wouldn't even say, and you couldn't call me a good person. If I said to you that you must believe on me just like you believe on God, I wouldn't be a good person. If I said to you that I can forgive your sins, I wouldn't be a good person. I mean, if I told you to put your faith in me and me alone for salvation, I wouldn't be a good person. Because I'm taking the attributes of God. Amen. And Jesus did that. If you read the Gospels, you have to say, Jesus said those things. Amen. He told people to put their faith in him. He told people to trust in me. He told them, I'm going to die for your sins, and because of me, you're going to be forgiven. He said he was the Son of God. Now, if that's not true, he is not a good man. He's a liar. He's not a good man. So either he's telling the truth or he's not a good man. But you can't say, well, he's a good man and he's a liar. Oh, I don't believe in that. No. Amen. So I tell people, here's what I tell people. You can believe what you want to about Jesus, about a Jesus that you make up. But you cannot say that the Bible does not teach that Jesus is God. And you cannot make the Bible say what you want to say, because the Jesus that you believe in that is not God is not Jesus of the Bible. It's a Jesus you made up and would do nothing for you. When we Christians say that we believe in Jesus, we believe that we believe in all who Jesus said he is, was, and what he did. We believe that he is the Messiah that the Jews are waiting for. He's already came. He's already came. Now, he's coming back a second time, but he's already came, and he's already fulfilled the scriptures. He's already done what he has said he was going to do. And because of that, they wanted to kill him. But I also want to say something else to you, too. We need to stop telling people, well, the Jews are responsible for physically killing Jesus. But Jesus said himself, no one takes my life from me. He says, no, you're not taking my life. I give it. I have the power to give it, and I have the power to take it back up. He says that Jesus Christ is the only person on earth that says that I have the power to die. Because most people go to their grave kicking and screaming. I don't want to go. Amen. Most people, they go down and fight to the last minute. I don't want to go. But Jesus says, I'm going because I have the power to die. So we want to talk about the Gospel of John. Who is this Jesus? And John uses some words, a word to help us understand who Jesus is. He says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, that Greek word means the Logos. Now, if you're in Greek thought, the Greeks thought about the word Logos. It was a sense of the Logos meant reason or meaning. Now, from a Jewish standpoint, the word Logos meant was one of authority. And so when you hear that, it says, in the beginning was the authority, or from a Greek mindset, in the beginning was the reason behind what took place. Now, John went back to the beginning. He took us back to Genesis. Because we say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what the Apostle John does, he takes us way back to the beginning. He says, in the beginning, and what he's trying to tell people to understand that in the beginning, when the earth was created, Jesus was there. And also, he is trying to combat a certain heresy that has came about in his day. One was called Gnosticism. And this heresy was the fact that they would believe that spirit was good and any matter was evil. And so he said it was impossible for God to become a man because matter is evil. So Jesus only appeared to be a man, but he really wasn't. And so Nassim said that, no, God could not come in the flesh because flesh is evil. And so what John is saying, no, God did come in the flesh. And what he's saying to us in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. In the beginning with God was the Logos. Now, in some religions, they don't believe that Jesus is God. If you go to some Bibles, you go to a Jehovah's Witness Bible, they're going to tell you, they're going to say, in the beginning was, you know, they will say Jesus was a God, not God. Now, that's very important. They're going to say he is a God, small g. There are a whole bunch of gods running around there. He's just one of many. But yet the Bible doesn't say that. It says in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Logos was with God. And it says, and the Word was God. So the first thing we want you to understand that Jesus Christ, in relationship with the Father, he is God. Amen. He is God. Because his apostles said it right there, in the beginning was the Word. And he is clear, because he's telling us who the Word is, because he uses the Word and he says he was in the beginning with God. So this Word now becomes a he. Then you look at verse 14 and he says, and the Word became flesh. So this Word was a he. And this he was in the beginning with God. Then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that word dwelt among us means, and he tabernacled among us. It means that Jesus Christ pitched his tent among humanity. So Jesus is God. Now some people will be hard, even Christians say, man, I don't know, man, I believe that, but I don't know how to explain that. Because what I've come to understand that most Christians, we talk about Jesus and we talk about him being Savior and Lord, and we love that. But we talk about him being God, we say, well, I believe it, but I don't really want to talk about that. Because it's controversial. And yet the Bible is so clear from John's gospel that he wants the people to know that Jesus is God. If you go back and read the history of Christianity, and you start reading the history of Christianity, this thing right here had to be dealt with when the church began to grow and go farther and farther away from the apostles. They had to come back and deal with the person of Jesus Christ, because people began to say to themselves, Jesus is a good person, but he is not God. And they had to fight against that and say, no, he is very God of every God, the same substance as God. And when you look at this, he says that he is God eternal. Jesus is God eternal because it says that he had no beginning and no ending. Now, the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he sees a vision of Jesus Christ in his glorified state. And Jesus tells the Apostle John who he is. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, you would not, no Jew would speak like that about himself unless he was crazy. But Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So he is God eternal. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And he was in the beginning with God. He's also co-equal with God. And what we mean by that, everything God is, Jesus is. Everything that God is, Jesus is. He said in John 5, verse 18, he says to them, he says that this is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill Jesus. Why? Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, he was breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. So a Jewish person would understand that if I said to them, hey, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. God's his Father. He would know what I was saying, that now we're making, that Jesus make himself equal with God. And when Jesus said it to the Jewish leaders, they wanted to kill him. Because in their mind, that's blasphemy. But Jesus said it. And they understood what he said. They understood what he meant. And they wanted to kill him. He was saying, I am equal with God. Jesus, he is God. He's also God in essence. In other words, Jesus in his very nature God, while he is separate from the Father in his personhood, he is one with God in his essence. John 14:9 says, when Philip asked Jesus, hey, Jesus, show us the Father. Jesus said to him, Philip, have I been with you for so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. He tells Philip, Philip, if you look at me, you've seen everything about God you see. He said to him, I am in essence God. Now, we believe that there is God, one God, that has revealed himself in three distinct, separate persons. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, if you read your Bible, you can see this also manifests itself in the baptism of John the Baptist. I mean, in the baptism of Jesus, when Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus in the water, he gets baptized. He comes up out of the water, and the Bible says that when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came from heaven upon him, and it says that the heavens were open, and God the Father said to him, John heard him, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. So you have God the Father in heaven, you have the Holy Spirit coming down, you have Jesus wet in some water. And you have the Father saying, this is my beloved Son. And John would say, I heard what the Father said about Jesus. That is his Son. And no other place does God ever say that about anybody else in Scripture except about Jesus. Amen. He is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. So he is God. Now, I know for some of you, said, man, this is kind of hard to understand. Let me break it down to you. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he sent his Son. And what that means is the fact that the Father sent Jesus on a rescue mission. The Father didn't die for you, the Son did. So the Son died on the cross, and he was praying to the Father. Father, forgive them. He's talking to the Father about forgiving you and I. But Jesus on the cross. Then also says, Jesus says to the disciples, now once I leave you and go back to heaven, I'm going to send you another helper of the Holy Spirit. He's going to live in you. We call that the Holy Spirit, who now lives in us. So now we would say that where is Jesus right now? Jesus is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. The Father's on one side, Jesus on the right hand, and the Holy Spirit is here, living in among us as we preach about Jesus Christ. Amen. But we believe in one God. Amen. And we believe that Jesus is God. And why do we believe that? Because the scriptures tell us so. The apostles believed that he was God. Not only John believed it, but also the apostle Paul believed it. And you know that he was a Pharisee. He was a religious. He was a zealot. He was a Jew. And he used to kill Christians until he met the risen Savior. And then let me tell you what he said about Jesus. In Colossians 2 verse 9, Paul says, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority." He said that the deity of God dwells in Jesus. He also said in Titus 2 verse 13, "We are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." He calls Jesus not only the Savior, but he calls him a great God. He says, "Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession." And also in the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, when he was talking to the elders in Ephesus, he said to them, he says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." It says that God purchased the church with his own blood. Now, I told you, who died for the church? Jesus. So if he's saying that God purchased the church with his own blood, whose blood was it? It was Jesus' blood. So he's telling you that Jesus is God and Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. So we're not telling you, we're not crazy. We're just telling you this is what the Bible says about who Jesus is. And if you are a Christian, you need to say, "I believe what the Bible says." I'm not able to comprehend it, but I can't apprehend it. And that's what it means. It means that you have to comprehend everything about the Bible, because you know why? You're not smart enough. I'm not smart enough. But you have to apprehend what God reveals to you in the scriptures. And that's what gets most of us in trouble as humans. We think, okay, if I can't understand it, it must not be true. I said, you're not that smart. Yeah, I can't understand calculus. Yeah. But is there? I'm serious. I really can't understand calculus. I'm dead. At a certain point, I'm done with math. But that doesn't mean that it's not true if I don't understand it. So we believe, okay, if I don't understand Jesus, I just don't believe it's true. No, that means that you're not smart enough. That's all that means, that you kind of, you know, we all have a limited knowledge. And all of us do. Remember I said again, in order to know who Jesus is, you can't discover Jesus. You can't discover him. He has to reveal himself to you. See, quit trying to, you're not finding Jesus, you're not finding God. God is revealing himself to you, and how he does it, one way he does it is through the Word. The scriptures. So I'm showing you from the scriptures what the Bible says about who Jesus is. He is God. Because he was in the beginning, he was with God, and he was God. And secondly, he is the creator, God. Jesus Christ's relationship with creation, he is the creator. Look what it says in verse 3 of the Gospel of John chapter 1. It says, "All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made through him. And without him, there was anything that was made." If you go and look at the cosmos and the universe, you can say Jesus did that. He was there. When God said, "Let there be light," Jesus turned the lights on. When God said, "Let there be," God said, "I got that. I'm going to take care of that." And so what we're saying here, we're saying that Jesus Christ is God, and he is the creator of not only the universe, he's the creator of mankind. He is the creator. And he is too. And because just like the sun rotates around the universe, all life rotates around the S-O-N, Jesus Christ. He is the sun. All life and light, understand, rotates around him. If the sun stopped shining, wildlife would die, things would begin to happen, oxygen would get low, because the sun gives light and helps us out. So Paul says also in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 and 20, this is what he says about Jesus. He says that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. You exist for God. You exist for God, because God created you. And one of the most, the most egregious sin that a human being can do is to deny its creator. Amen. That's what it means to sin when you reject the one who created you. It would be just like, it would be like this right here, like you as a parent, that you raised a child and you bore that child, especially as a mother. You went through 24 hours of labor, you bore that child, and that child grows up and tells you, you are not my mother. How would you feel? And that's what we say to God, who spiritually, who created us. We say, you are not my father. You didn't create me. Jesus is the creator. So why don't we worship him as God, as creator? It also says in Romans chapter 11, verse 36, for in him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. We exist to bring God glory. He created us for his glory. All creation looks to Jesus for reason, purpose, and identity. If you want to know who you are and why you're here, look to Jesus. If you want to know what you're here for, ask Jesus. Hebrews 1 verses 1 through 3 says, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He says he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent to theirs. He says, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn to the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. The angels worship Jesus. They worship Jesus. When Jesus was born, the angels showed up to the shepherds. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. They was worshiping that baby because they understood that that was more than a baby, that was God in that manger. Amen. The word had became flesh and dwelt among us. Even John, the writer says, John the Baptist says that Jesus was before him. Now, how can that be? That Jesus came before John the Baptist, if John the Baptist was born almost 9 months, a year before Jesus ever was born. Amen. But John himself says that I am telling you that this is the Messiah because he was before me. And Jesus and John the Baptist was cousins because Elizabeth and Mary was cousins, first cousins. And she was pregnant. She was 6 months pregnant when Mary went to see her, and Mary had just got impregnated with Jesus in the womb. So Elizabeth was already pregnant with John the Baptist. And he says that this man that I'm baptizing was before me. He is greater than me. Even John understood that Jesus was not just a human being. He was God. He was the God-man. So he is God and he is creator. You exist for him. He wants to be glorified in your life. And thirdly, Jesus Christ's relationship in salvation, he is Redeemer. He is Redeemer. He is the source of life. Look what it says in verse John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It says that Jesus Christ is light and he is life. Now, in the Gospel of John, whenever you see the words life and light, it speaks about life is not just what I call just not a duration of life. It's about the quality of life. Jesus Christ came to redeem us and to give us the light that God originally intended. a life of love, forgiveness, freedom, and joy. He offers us God's abundant life. In other words, Jesus Christ is offering us God's life. He's offering us a life of God. Amen. He's offering us God's life. And unfortunately, many of us are choosing our own life over God's life. And Jesus said, I come to give you life, because he says in him was life. He's also the source of light. And the life was the light of man. And do you know that the light still shines in the darkness? And the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness speaks of spiritual evil and sin. And what it's saying that Jesus Christ came, and he offers life, he shines the light, and darkness cannot overcome it. No matter how much sin you've committed, it can't overcome the forgiveness of God. No matter how much people reject Jesus, it doesn't matter. You can reject him all day. They've been doing it from the beginning of time. They spit in his face and all those things. And yet, Christianity and God still is making, his plan is still moving forward. His plan is still moving forward. Just like when the guy Nietzsche said, he said, Nietzsche is dead. He said, God is dead. And what he found out is Nietzsche is dead, and he met God who's alive. Because he said God was dead. But when he died, he met the risen Lord. And many people today who would say to themselves, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe that he's God, but then when they die, they're going to meet Jesus face to face. God is the Redeemer. He is the source of light. And he overcame darkness through the incarnation, through revelation, through the crucifixion, and by his resurrection. What did it say? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What a Savior that we have. And do you know that the light gives light to every man? Look what it says in verse 9. It says, the true light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to live to his own. His own people did not receive him. Now that's sad. Jesus Christ, as a light, came to a dark world. When God says, so like when God said, let there be light in the beginning, and there was light, Jesus Christ, the true light, came into the world where darkness and sin was around. He was born, and he came, and he began to shine his light. First of all, he came to humanity. Then, in particular, he came to the Jewish people and told them, I am the long-awaited Messiah. And they said to him, we reject you. We don't believe in you. They rejected him. He says that his own people rejected him. They didn't receive him. Why? Because of the darkness of their heart. Because of sin. And the reason why people today don't reject Jesus has nothing to do with their intellect. Has everything to do with their heart. Because they're still walking in darkness. They're still living in sin. Because the sin of having a God complex. That I know everything. I have self-determination. I know just as much about God as you do. And so I determine that this Jesus is not who the scriptures say he is. That's darkness. That's blindness that people are walking in. And we all was in that dark place before. And that's why that other verse is so. Praise God for verse 12. He says that in verse 11, he came to his own people did not receive him. But verse 12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Praise God for that, but God. Amen. That's us. But to all. That means all of us who did receive him. We have the right to be the children of God. Praise God for that. Thank him for that. God wants us to know who he is. Have you denied Jesus in your life? Who is Jesus to you? Is he a good guy? Is he a good teacher? That's not all he is God. And point number four, because Jesus is God, creator, and redeemer, he is to be proclaimed. Because Jesus is God, creator, and redeemer, he is to be proclaimed. God sent a man by the name of John to be a witness for Jesus, to be a witness about the light, that all might believe through him. We're just like John. We're witnesses. We're not the light. We bear witness to the light. That light is Jesus Christ. And because of who he is, we must proclaim him, first of all, exclusively, as being the Son of God and the only means of salvation. See, we cannot say, well, Jesus Christ is a way to God. No, he is the way to God. Amen. He's not a way of many ways. There's only one way to God, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. No one will ever be in the presence of God in heaven apart from saving work of Jesus Christ. Just won't happen. And many people will try. And yet, Jesus says, I am the Savior of the world. Did you preach Jesus exclusively? And that's what that guy was saying today. He said, you know what? I don't believe in one religion only. I believe in all of them. We'll take them all together, and we'll pick something from each one, and I come up with my own little God. And that's what the world is trying to give us. You don't have a problem talking to people about God, but mention Jesus and see what happens. Now you are narrow-minded, and you're a bigot. No, I just believe what God says about his Son, Jesus Christ. That he is God. He's the creator. He's the redeemer. And I'm going to proclaim him as the exclusive means of salvation. That he's the exclusive person who should be adored and worshipped. And not only that, we are to preach him and proclaim him passionately. Amen. Not being afraid or fearful of rejection by others. That's why Paul says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Jesus Christ came to his own, for he came and offered salvation to the Jewish people. They rejected it, and God said salvation is for all people. But he started first of all with his first for his people he came to, the Jewish people. And God says that we should proclaim him passionately. Do you do that in your life? Do you tell people about Jesus passionately? How can you know the God of the universe and not tell no one about him? Do you say, well, Jesus Christ, well, he's good for me, may not be good for you, so we all go in the same place. No, that's not true. That's not the gospel. And you're sending people into an eternity without God. If you tell people that you can be whatever you want to, tell them we all head to the same place. That's not true. Do you preach him passionately? And do you preach him urgently? Why is that? Because today's the day of salvation. I mean today, right now. Because long life isn't promised to any of us, but death is. Death is sure to come to everybody here. God has not promised you a long life. But I can guarantee you, from me all the way down, you're going to die. I can guarantee you. In the next 50 years, some of us won't be here. In the next 60, some of us won't be here. Next 70, none of us might not be here. You're going to die. That's a guarantee. And that's why God says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. If you hear the gospel today, you better respond. Because one thing you won't be able to say, if you die, I didn't hear nothing about Jesus. No one told me about him. So no, you heard. And you chose to reject it. Now I'm going to give you what you want. You don't want me, you won't have me. Because today, if you die without Jesus, you go to eternity where God is not. Amen. And Jesus said that's a place called hell. And hell is a place where Jesus is not, where God isn't. And you can say, well, I don't believe in hell. Okay, that don't mean it's not true. You don't believe in it. And I'm not trying to go to see. I'll take him at his word. Amen. I'm not trying to go there to find out. But some people are going to go because they choose to reject Jesus. They choose to reject the salvation that he offers. They choose to believe. And what that young man was saying is what most humans believe themselves. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I mean, deep down, if you ask people, you really get to the core, they believe I'm a good person. I mean, I might drink a little bit, cuss a little bit, but I'm not that bad. They believe they're a good person. But the Bible says there's none good, no, not even one. We have all been found guilty by God. And that's why he sent Jesus Christ. So the question for you, let's make it personal. Who is this Jesus to you? Because what you believe about Jesus will determine how you think, how you live, and ultimately your eternal destiny. If you believe Jesus is God, it's going to change the way you think. It's going to change the way you think about life. You can't stay the same and say, I believe in who God is, who Jesus Christ is, and still be the same. You're not going to be that way. It's really going to change the way you live. And let me say this, Christians, to all of us, I'll be honest with you. Most of the time, as Christians in America, we do a bad job of this. Because if we truly believe that Jesus Christ is God of the universe, and that he died for our sins, and that we live for him, how can we continue to live a defeated life? We don't live an abundant life, and we almost live like this is heaven on earth. And we don't live for the glory of God. We don't live passionately. We say, well, I'm not going to take my time. I'm going to just know. And I would tell parents this too. Parents, if you believe that Jesus Christ is God, and you believe that he's the Savior of the world, how can you not teach your kids about Jesus? To me, that's child neglect. To say to me, you know what? I believe in Jesus Christ, but I'm going to let my son and my daughter make their own choice. Are you really going to say that? That's child neglect. It's child abuse. Because then I asked him again, okay, so you mean tell me you're going to let Johnny decide whether or not he want to go to school tomorrow? Well, no, he's going to school. Well, why? Why are you going to make him go to school? Let him choose that too. Well, no, he needs to go to school. He needs to be, somebody in the world. Oh, really? So you worry about his education. You're not worried about his salvation. You're worried about his mind, but not his soul. Isn't? But that's how we do it as some Christians. That's how we talk. That's how we talk about our children. Just let him just make up his mind. Really? How can you read the Bible and then say that? That's not right. That's sinful. And that's why I say sometimes as Christians, we don't live like there is no God. We say it with our mouths, but our actions, we are practical atheists. And yet, we want what God has to offer us. He offers us life, but we live in darkness. Why is that? Why? The message of Jesus Christ demands a response. A response of belief that leads to repentance and faith, or unbelief that leads to rejection. You have only two choices with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can receive it or you can reject it. That's it. There's no neutral ground. Well, I'm not going to make a decision today, Pastor. I'm not going to make a decision. I'm going to still do my study and my research. I'm not going to make a decision today. Well, you already made a decision. By not making a decision, you made a decision. You already made a decision. Every Sunday, everyone in here makes a decision under the sound of my voice. Whenever you hear the gospel, you make a decision every Sunday, whether I'm going to believe what the Word of God says or I'm not. So today, this morning, as we leave here today, everybody in here has made a decision who Jesus is and what they're going to do with him. And based on your decision, God honors that decision. If you reject him, say, okay, I honor that decision. If you receive him, I honor that too. There's no neutral response. So my desire is that as we go through the gospel of John, that you'd be forced to make a choice. If you're not a Christian, here's what you must do. What do you do? If you're here today, you say, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. What must I do? Well, John tells you, believe on him. To those who believe in his name, who receive him, you must, first of all, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you must believe that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. You must believe that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins, and that he was buried and rose again from the dead. You must believe what the Bible says about Jesus. Because there is no other Jesus than Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. There's no Jesus, the moral teacher, the good guy, the moral example. We don't know who that is. Jesus we talk about is the Son of God, the Christ. And that is the one that you must place your faith in. And you will have life in his name. So I wonder, do you have life in Jesus Christ? Have you given him your life? Or are you rejecting Jesus? Why do you reject Jesus? When all the Bible says is that he loved you and gave himself for you. Why would you reject? It's like rejecting your house is on fire and you trapped in there and the fireman comes in there, breaks in there and say, hey, I got you, let's go. Angel, the fireman, leave me alone. I can make it out on my own. It's like you are rejecting the rescue of a fireman who's trying to get you out of a burning building and you say, you know what? Leave me in here. I can do it on my own. I just got to try a little harder. You're rejecting the one who came to rescue you. You are rejecting the source of life because you are too prideful to surrender and say, I need help. And that's what every person does who reject Jesus. They tell him, you know what? I can make it out of this place on my own. I don't need you. And you know what Jesus does when you say that? He goes to the next person and delivers them. He's not going to force himself on you because he understands he came, and to those who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And if we believe that, Christians, we cannot help but tell other people. We can't be silent. We can't be neutral. We got to share the gospel passionately, urgently, and exclusively. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Let us pray. God, we love you and we praise you. We thank you, Almighty God, for who you are. And God, I pray, God, that as this message has been preached, that it will burn in our hearts. That you, Lord, will deal with people under the sound of my voice. And they will come to know who you are. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, the option you have today is to repent and to confess your sins. You say, you know what? I want to be saved.